The reading is from Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 12, which is page 1016, if you want to follow along on the Bibles underneath the chairs, or it's going to be on the screen. Or if you're high tech, it might even be on your phone. There you go. So you might know that we've been going through a series in Mark. Generally, we've been reading larger chunks of Mark's Gospel, normally a chapter at a time, and sometimes we've had our friendly actor chappy read it for us, who obviously speaks very like this. So I've got to do my best impression of him. No, I won't really. So, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again," as his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." So I'm going to hand over to Kath, but just before she comes up, shall we pray for her? Lord, we do thank you for Kath. We thank you for the blessing she is on the church, and we anoint you. We ask you to anoint her this morning with what she's going to come and say to us from your word. Amen.
I just get this feeling this morning, just the first things I've got to say is, what a man. What a man was this Jesus. 33-year-old, but he knew exactly what he was doing. What a man. 40 days, 40 nights he spent in the wilderness, being tempted, being alone, just taking time to just be in tune with what his Father wanted. And that was all in preparation for this final week of his precious life, this life that means so much to us now, today. Yep, the first part that I missed out of the reading was Palm Sunday, where he was hailed as the king. He was riding on this donkey. He knew what he was riding into. He knew that he was riding into what we could say was a bit of a storm. But he did it willingly because he knew that that was what God wanted. Yep, 40 days being hungry, 40 nights being hungry. No wonder he saw this tree and thought, "Ha ha, I shall go and get some fruit." But the fruit tree let him down. It just didn't have any. And yet, I think he was a bit miffed. I think he was a little bit irritated that you've got leaves, you should have fruit. But there wasn't any. So he cursed it. We see some of the humanity of this man we know to be the Son of God. We see that humanity. He was very much at that time like you and me, human, with all the human needs of wanting food and drink, all the usual things. I wonder what he really thought about this tree not having fruit. It was a source of irritation. It made him really quite irritated, unsettled. It's not the Jesus we really know to be irritated, is it? But this, it wasn't really let down that it didn't have any fruit. He was let down because it had the profession of fruit. It was sort of displaying the signs that fruit would be there. When he got to the temple, again, it was the same thing. There was the profession of a religious ceremony that was going to take place. But it was being hampered by these sellers, these people selling the stuff for the sacrifices. It was false, just like the tree was false. His father's house. His father's house that was meant to be a house of prayer was being housing robbers, thieves, cheats, taking money off the poor people who could really ill afford it. But that's what they were having to pay for the sacrifices. No wonder he was angry. If we go back to the tree, I took a picture of a tree in a neighbour's garden about 6 weeks ago. And it looks like this. And you can see, not a leaf in sight, but you can see the tiny fruit. That tiny fruit was there before even the leaves arrived. Jesus knew that fruit would be there. It wouldn't be as sweet as it would have been later on in the season, but it was there. Or it should have. It was on my neighbour's tree. But it was there before the leaves arrived. And it reminded me a bit of a picture that Karen posted on Facebook of the tree outside the post office. Bright pink. It was beautiful. It was February. And it was like that. February. We normally, well, up north, we used to have snow. Here, we have pink trees. But that blossom made way for the leaves that we see now. It was the precursor. I did have a plan that I would take another photograph of that tree. Being 6 weeks later, I thought, there will be leaves. Yes. But 3 days after I took the first photograph, the gardeners came and chopped it down. And so we have this. There are, if you look closely, there are one or two leaves there. And they're quite big leaves. Those leaves would have protected those tiny fruits from the heat of the day. Adam and Eve found a different use for those leaves. But God had a plan. He knew that those figs would need protection. Not particularly in Burwell from the heat of the sun, unless it was last year. But he provided the leaves to protect that fruit so that when the right time came, they would be sweet. Back to Mark's recollection of this doomed fig tree. I looked at it. I kept thinking, why was he so sure there would be figs on that tree? Apparently, there are three different harvest times for the fig tree. One is spring, which was dead right week before Passover. It was dead right. Those small figs should have been there. The second one is the more normal harvest, which was referred to, that it wasn't time for the harvest. The normal harvest would be autumn, when the figs would be big and sweet. And there is a possible third harvest, round about December. Not as big a fruit, not as sweet a fruit, and not as many. But there is, apparently, there is a third harvest. So, if we think about that, we can see just how Jesus knew there should have been those small figs there. Those small figs would have just been what he needed to take him over that hunger pangs. But they weren't there. They were false. In John 15, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." I believe that's what was being said. That because this fig tree, because the temple was professing false faith, false fruit, that's what irritated Jesus. That's what got him thinking, what are you playing at? The disciples seemed to think, Jesus, what are you playing at? Why did you curse the tree? He cursed it because it wasn't serving its purpose. The Bible's gone, but never mind. In the Bible, we all know it. Genesis through to Revelation is peppered with agricultural terms, analogies, parables, all with a purpose, all useful. Fruit, however, was mainly used by Jesus. Jesus used fruit as being a typical example for us to go and bear fruit. Jesus' fruit would be the fruit that would last. Far better than any apples or oranges. We have the fruit that Jesus, the Spirit, can give. And in Paul's letter to the Galatians, He talks about this fruit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's real fruit. That's the fruit that Jesus was really thinking about. That we would be able to spread his love, his peace, with gentleness and self-control. If we try in our own strength, it's just our own love, our own concern. But it's far better if we have the love of God. That is much deeper. It's much more caring. It's much more value to a God that we love. It is God's fruit. It's not our fruit. It's God's fruit. We're just vessels. We're sometimes referred to as clay pots. Fair enough. Without God's love, without God's fruit, that's what we are. But with his love, we can do as Jesus said, move mountains. It sounds like hard work, that, but with his love, it's possible. Anything is possible. As a gardener knows, any gardener, even me, I'm no horticulturist, but any tree needs pruning. It needs bits chopping off and chucking away. Because then the tree grows stronger. If it's a fruit tree, it would grow more fruitful. And that's what happens to us as well. The not so nice bits get trimmed, chopped away. And yeah, it can be painful. We can think, why is this happening to me? But sometimes we need a little bit of pruning, a little bit of trimming, get rid of the manky bits. God does this in love. He doesn't do it to hurt us. He does it so that we can go out and perform what he wants in this crazy world that we're living. It is a bit crazy, isn't it? In the words of Mother Teresa, she said, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And that's the love that God gives us and helps us to be able to do great things in love. Pete gets a bit put out at me at times because I like doing puzzles, all sorts of puzzles. Sudoku, crosswords, but his real pet hate is jigsaws. He can't stand the mess of bits and pieces everywhere. So I've taken to doing these jigsaws on an iPad because it's a bit tidier. But the best jigsaws that I like are the real bit tricky ones. I like them. The ones where you get a picture, but you're not doing the picture of the jigsaw. You're doing the picture of what the people in the jigsaw are looking at. So it can be quite a lot different. Probably the same colours, but it's different. I see the similarity between the jigsaws and God's plan. We don't have the picture. We don't see it all. We might get a glimpse, but we don't have the whole picture. But unless we try and put those pieces in, God's plan won't work. It won't happen. We need to be the pieces that put that together. When we think about other people in the way perhaps that God would think about them, we care about them. We love them. We take care of them. And we pray for people to come to know Jesus, to know God in the way that we do. And that's our responsibility. That's our fruit. Just bringing people closer and closer to the Jesus we know. Is the fruit for the tree? No. Not at all. The fruit is for others. The fruit we bear is for their comfort, encouragement, edification, and benefit. It is for others. It's part of our identity as Christians. As Jesus says in John, they know we are Christians by our love. It gave us some great examples of how to love. He knew what he was doing. The new seeds going in the fruit of trees will then produce new trees. It is the fruit, along with God's word and his spirit, that will be the means of new trees growing. And for people, new people to come to faith and learn of the love that we have from a God that really cares for us. In Proverbs, it says, the fruit of the righteous tree is a tree of life, and whoever captures the soul is wise. Mike didn't know when he picked that first song just how much that has meant this week to me as I've been looking at all this and looking Old and New Testament. The fruit of the righteous tree is a tree of life. God has chosen us to share his word, to be part of his jigsaw. If we don't put that piece into place, it's just a mess. It's just not going to work. But if we are fruitful, then it will come together as God always planned. In Matthew, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. We need more helpers. We need those helpers, including us, to do that work, to be fruitful for God's kingdom. Remember that verse earlier on. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's what Jesus did. I just want to finish with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, in your strength, help us always to bear fruit for you. May your love and joy grow in us so that it will overflow to the others, other people that need to know you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.